Hello and welcome. It's good to see you again. And if it's your first time here, it's definitely good to see you. Tonight, let's talk about eldritch feelings and eldritch horror. Most writers think that eldritch horror is just someone freaking out over the horror that is some evil beast or abomination from another dimension. Oh, how ugly it is when that's not it at all. It's actually a different type of insanity when you've grasped an understanding more than your mortal mind can comprehend, and you're striving to reach that level of understanding again. As an example, the ant on a circuit board may be scared that there are all sorts of humming monoliths and strange markings, and there may be a human finger coming down to poke at it. But that's it. Nothing out of the ordinary, just normal fear. Eldritch horror comes when it understands that those markings are language and the monoliths are there to process information on a much larger scale. And it's walking on the interconnects for that information processing. For beings around 700 times taller than them, they've caught a glimpse into a much larger world. Literally, our world. Do they understand a computer? Or the scope of the Earth? And all of the complexities of human livelihood? No, but through a glimpse of what a computer is and a bit of its purpose, they've seen a tiny bit into it. Now, let's apply that to our world. The sun is likely the closest we have to what we would consider an eldritch being. We know it has a finite beginning and end, but it's older than our recorded history and will be here long after us. For most, it's incomprehensibly ancient. If we look at it, it instantly burns itself into our vision and will blind us if we stare into it. It can cause cancerous growths from extended exposure. It's a non-humanoid shape adrift in space, with fiery tentacles that often lash out for no discernible reason. It's surrounded by its children, slowly spinning around it in an ancient dance that's repeated throughout the universe. People used to sacrifice others in the hopes of appeasing it. Solar flares are similar to our screams into the void. This either sounds like an eldritch being, or one of the biblically accurate descriptions of angels. Either way, it's generally quite terrifying for mortals to think about. Now, let's discuss where we come into play. What if the sun actually is a living being, and the screams I mentioned are its way of communicating with other suns? We know other suns do the same. They make solar flares and pulses in similar manners. What if, like us, they communicate in similar fashions? What would they talk about? What if we observe similar activity from whole galaxies as they spin through the universe? Whole solar systems spin and talk internally and to each other. What if, while spinning around inside the universe, galaxies are talking to each other at a far slower pace, discussing the latest gossip about who crashed into who a few billion years ago, and reminiscing on when the universe was smaller? But how about we go one step further? Let's step outside of our universe. Through technology, we've almost discovered where the edge of it is, but let's say we're able to step outside of it for just a moment. We can see all of the different universes along with ours, growing and vying for space, spinning around each other as well. We're just one little universe in a clump of seemingly infinite universes. A bit like a cell in an egg. The multiverse, if you will. All different, all unique, all with different laws of physics. And if you look closely, each one is constantly branching off into not only infinite timelines, but infinite possibilities before your very eyes, based on every single quantum particle's options and decisions. With these timelines, the multiverse becomes a polyverse, an infinite test of what could be, what is, and what has been. And all of this is just one little segment of this egg, the embryo, one single layer of creation itself. As you pull back a bit more, you see that the layers that came before this polyverse were simpler, had far fewer physics, far fewer rules, and almost look two-dimensional in comparison to yours. The ones that come after are strange and foreign, and hard to comprehend. It's like looking through a kaleidoscope with extra dimensions, but you know that whatever it's all for, it will be worth it. But as you also look, you get the realization that even saying before and after are meaningless, as they're all happening now, have happened, and will happen again, because time is a construct of your own universe, and your mind is just organizing things so that you can understand them easier. And then you turn around, away from the polyverses that you've discovered, that you are the barest hint of a piece of, to see what else there is. And you see them, the creators, the ones that created this egg, staring and studying you and everything else in the egg, waiting, watching, studying, wondering, their eyes unblinking. Are they waiting for the polyverse to hatch? Is it one of their own? Is it their breakfast? Is it a lab experiment? You have no idea, but for that single moment, you've caught a glimpse of what's outside of all of existence, and for the rest of your existence, you will struggle with that knowledge and try to recapture it. As they stared at you, you stared back. What you saw may drive you mad. It might not. You may try to show others the same thing through any means necessary. Just like I'm doing right now. This is the true meaning of Eldritch Horror. The insanity that awaits any being lucky enough to see what awaits you past the 15th dimension or so, and beyond. Perhaps you've got a glimpse of what true Eldritch Horror and Eldritch feelings are. Perhaps not. Perhaps now you've caught a glimpse of something else. Perhaps something far more important to the base level of creation and existence itself as it stands. That everything does and does not exist revolves around everything else. As particles do at an atomic and quantum level flow around one another at unfathomable distances relative to their size, so too do galaxies, universes, and even greater things do the same, as do people in their social circles. Occasionally interacting and mingling, joining together, and connecting in relatively brief periods, just as we are now. As they say, you are just a grain of sand in the desert, but far more importantly, you are an entire desert inside of a single grain of sand. Please be kind to each other. Be the hero you needed in your darkest hour. Be the light you want to see in the world.